The public hearing will now come to order. Mrs. Stecker, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Bondurant?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Howard? Mr. Black?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Glen Ellen School District 41, 2011-2012 tentative budget has been on display and made available for public inspection since June 21, 2011. Notice for tonight's hearing was advertised in the Gatehouse Media Suburban News, Suburban Life Publications, on June 23, 2011. The board will take action on the budget during its regular meeting, which follows tonight's hearing. To date, the district has not received any questions or comments regarding the budget. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on the budget at this time? Hearing no further, may I have a motion to adjourn the public hearing?
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. The Board of Education regular meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Stecker, will you call the roll?
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
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 Smith?
Here.
Howard?
Black?
Here. No. Here. Are there any members of the public present who wish to address the board? Thank you.
My name is Jeff Cooper. This is W111 at Glen High Sports. I asked at the last meeting about the public getting involved in the negotiations of the next teacher's contract. And I'm disappointed to say it's not on tonight's agenda and that I haven't been contacted about taking this any further. I've studied the last contract and I have many thoughts about what we, the taxpayers, need in a new contract. I also have numerous questions about sections of the current contract that appear to be confusing to the average citizen. We as a community cannot afford 7.5% to 8% annual increases and salaries year after year, totaling up to 26.5% over the 4 years of the current contract. This is not including lane change increases. We are not looking for salary cuts, just results in line with our properties having declined significantly in value, foreclosures putting more tax burdens on the rest of us, income tax increases in Illinois, let alone people dealing with unemployment or pay cuts. And I've not yet mentioned the words insane pensions. We're making many teachers millionaires in retirement, many times before an average citizen can even retire. Some of the issues we can't do anything about at district level, but some we can, and we must. You are elected as school board members. You hold jobs like we do. You're not professional negotiators. They, the IEA, they've contributed over $50 million to Illinois politicians since 1995. I can't count how many lobbyists they have. It's no accident that salaries and benefits and pensions have gotten to where they are. You need our input. We need you to accept our input. I found the following sections in the current contract that I wanted to bring forward. Section 9.1. Each party shall select an equal number of representatives to serve as its negotiation committee. In Section 9.2, either party may select whomever they wish to advise them and be present at all negotiations. I do request to be the whomever, whether it be part of a committee of two or a committee of three. I request a response from the board by the September 12th meeting. We still have time to organize priorities and to support our taxpayers in a contract that protects their interests along with maintaining excellent wages and benefits for the teachers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Any other participation, public participation? Thank you. If I can make one comment, Mr. Cooper, at our regular business meetings, we don't usually have back and forth, but I do want to comment that, and I'm actually going to do a little welcome here in a second, so it'll speak to that. Our board was on hiatus for July, although we were in communication. In fact, some of us actually did board work in July. And so we haven't had a chance to meet, and I have read your request. In fact, I read your letter to the editor in the Glen Allen News this past week as well. We will be meeting on September 7th for a board workshop, and so we'll have a chance to meet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? We as a board take input from the community. I'm not sure I understand fully the request, but any input you have, we've had people come up here to give us their input.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
that's part of our
culture. So
mm-hmm.
We've had people come up here and give us a presentation on their thoughts on certain areas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sure. Thank you. Well, I had just a quick welcome. I feel like when we leave in July and come back, it's this natural tendency to want to say, you know, welcome back. So welcome back to all the staff that are here, certainly to some of our teachers that are here, community members and staff. August always signals a new school year, and the work of the board continues from where we left off in June, so I think we're all glad to be back. While we've not held our two regular board meetings in July, we've received correspondence from Anne, and her last Thursday letter was particularly compelling because she talked about the fact that it felt like, you know, we didn't know where the summer went. And when I was reading it, I was feeling exactly the same way. And I think all of us have felt a little bit like that, although we've all had some nice vacation as well, I'm sure. But there's been a myriad of activities going on. I had a chance to get over to Hadley 2 weeks ago before I left for vacation on a work trip to peek in at the courtyard work going on. And it was in the midst of a lot of upheaval and pulling out and changes. But you could already see the potential for the courtyard to be the kind of learning atmosphere that we all as board members heard about and are supportive of. So that was exciting to see. And then I did get to peek into Lincoln and all the paintings, so that looks great. And so there's a ton of things going on, curricula, ESL, bilingual, it's nonstop. And on August 24th, when the doors reopen to the students, I think we'll all be ready for them as well to get back into school. But our own board agenda continues, and I know that we've already met to talk about our board goals, so we'll be finalizing those in September when we meet. Talking about the long-range plan, we certainly will continue our discussions around oversight and of district financial and facility short and long-term plans, and certainly to maintain a high-achieving district, all of these on our plate. Our board workshop is set for September 7th, as I just mentioned, and we'll continue that conversation, and we have a really busy year ahead of us. So I just want to now thank you all to my fellow board members for your volunteer work and all the time you put into this this position, and proud to be a part of this group and look forward to a great year. So welcome back to August.
I think we'll begin this evening with our budget overview presentation. As board members know, you will be taking action on the final budget later on the agenda. And this is simply an annual big picture overview of the budget and how it's developed and what portion of our budget comes from where. So, Bob, I'll turn it over to you at this time.
Okay, so this is this evening's budget, our presentation of the school district budget for the 11-12 fiscal year that we are currently in. Today is August 8, 2011, and let's begin. Let's talk about District 41 finances, fund accounting. As you know, we operate on a fund balance basis of accounting. Yeah. Here in the school district, we have our Ed Fund, our O&M transportation, and the various other funds that we use to account for revenues as well as account for expenditures. Our basis of accounting, when we report to you on a monthly basis.
Excuse me, Bob, the board members don't have copies of the PowerPoint.
it possible to print that point?
Do we need it?
No, it's not in there. I don't know that it's necessary.
Do you guys just plan on needing
it?
No, I don't know.
Because we have our budget. They're okay. They're okay. Not having copies.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Things have changed slightly from the last presentation that you saw, but not that dramatically. And I'll highlight those changes as we walk through this, okay? I was talking about fund accounting. We talked about basis of accounting. When I report, when Phyllis and I report to you on a monthly basis, we report to you on a cash basis of accounting. When you see your financial reports that are presented to the board later this year, you see things on a modified accrual basis. And that's where the accountants take us from a cash basis to a modified accrual basis of accounting, where you recognize revenues and expenditures in the appropriate fiscal period. The budget process is something that goes on throughout the year. Just earlier this evening at the Finance Committee, I was giving just a brief introduction of the types of capital projects that we're already looking at for next year, summer of 2012, and here we haven't even finished summer of 2011 capital projects. Again, this is for the fiscal year 2011-12, which starts July 1st, 2011, and concludes June 30th, 2012. Again, we as a district prepare reports on a cash basis. We have daily transactions as well as you receive a complete packet that has your detailed treasurer's report and monthly financial accounting reports that Phyllis and I prepare monthly. We have annual audited financial reports that are on a modified accrual basis and that are in accordance with government accounting standards, GASB standards. We were talking earlier this evening about GASB 54, which is another accounting method that we're going to be required to implement as of June 30th, 2011, and will be implemented over the next year. When we account for revenues and expenditures, we account for revenues on a fund and source of revenue basis. That's something that's required by the Illinois Program Accounting Manual, and basically it's created to provide uniformity of reporting throughout various school districts throughout the state of Illinois. When we have an expenditure account code, we have a fund, function, object, location, and source. Fund would be your education fund, your O&M fund, your transportation. Your functions are whether you're in elementary education, special education, bilingual education. Your objects are your salaries, your benefits, your purchase services, supplies and materials, and so forth. And then we have a location code, which could be at the building level. And then finally, we have a source code. Mm-hmm. These account numbers are based upon the Illinois Program Accounting Manual. And again, they allow for being able to put together similarities across the state of Illinois. How much does the district pay for benefits? How much do they pay for salaries? What percentage of their revenue or expenditures do those types of line items account for? These are the fund codes that we presently have in place: the Ed Fund, O&M, Debt Service, Transportation, IMRF, Capital Projects, Working Cash, TORC, and Life Safety. Earlier this evening, we talked about there being some changes that are going to be implemented as a method of accounting for fund balances. The working cash and the TORC fund are now going to be considered accounts and reported under the education fund, mm-hmm. or actually now the general fund. So what are our sources of revenue? As you know, our largest source of revenue are locally generated property taxes. They account for about 90% of our revenues. We also have corporate replacement taxes, interest earnings, which have been affected dramatically over the past couple of years because of declining interest rates. And then we have student fees from the state. We have general state aid, and we have categorical grants. So far, we're allocated to receive approximately the same amount that we have under general state aid. However, in this budget document, not only did we take a 30% reduction in categoricals, but on top of that, we've eliminated funding for reading improvement and pre-K programs. So when I presented this budget originally back in the springtime, we took 30% out of those categoricals. Now we've also eliminated the reading improvement and the other program that I just indicated.
So you eliminated them because?
Because we were told it would not be funded by the state of Illinois this year.
Period.
Not coming back. Not coming back in any of the short term. And these are things that really we've just learned over the past month or so, 6 weeks. So they were not obvious to us. I took a very conservative approach in the spring. We reduced it by 30%. We've maintained that 30% reduction in other categoricals, but have eliminated the ones that just identified.
So has that updated budget been posted?
No, it's not required to be posted, not required by Illinois school code. Federal programs, you're going to notice that there was a reduction in federal program funding this year. That's really just a case of ERA funding has come to an end, and we have about a $500,000 reduction this year versus last year, and of course, a lot of that went to the construction of the Hadley Special Ed Edition. We talk about, I spoke briefly about expenditure functions. You have your 1,000, which is directed instruction, 2,000 for support services, and some of the others are highlighted in pupil support services, curriculum, general administration, which are Board of Ed expenditures, as well as the superintendent's office, the principal's office. We have the business office. We have the internal services. We have community service and other public school entities. And then finally, we have the bond and interest payments on the 5,000 function code. We spoke briefly about how your expenditures are identified by object. And those are salaries, benefits, purchase or contracted services. We have supplies and materials, capital or equipment purchases. Now we have the 600 and 700 series numbers, which are just other designated expenditures. And then something new that's occurred over the past couple of years are the 800 series, which are termination benefits. So, how do we prepare financial reports? We prepare them monthly to present them to the Finance Committee and the Board of Education. We have scheduled state and federal programs that we report on a quarterly basis. For our grant programs and our annual claims for general state aid and transportation. On an annual basis, we have reports that are prepared for us by externally by our auditors, where we undergo an exhaustive and thorough review of our finances. They prepare an audit report. They prepare the annual financial report that we present to the state of Illinois. And then they also present or prepare the comprehensive annual financial report, or CAPR, which this year will now be GASB 54 compliant. And just, you'll be seeing a recommendation that comes before the board next board meeting for discussion, and it will be adopting a resolution that will allow us to become GASB 54 compliant. Any questions?
Is every district required to publish a CAPR?
No.
So some just won't have to publish. It's just if you do publish CAPR, you have to do the GASB 54.
No, the GASB 54 is right, correct. That is related to the comprehensive financial report.
What does the CAPR cost us to produce it?
Well, they don't break it apart in terms of what it costs.
It's part of the whole.
It's about a $32,000, $34,000 package. They do a complete external audit. And they prepare our audit reports, the AFR, as well as the CAPR, in terms of their end product of what their audit entails. The budget process, we have a calendar of events and deadlines. As I've said previously, the budgeting goes on throughout the year. As I stated earlier, we're actually starting next year's budget now. There's a resolution to allow us to begin to prepare next year's budget. That's 12-13, when we really only the second month of this year's 11-12 budget. We make decisions and allocate resources based upon educational philosophies and how we believe our dollars are best spent for the benefit of children. We develop our budget in cost centers. In other words, every department has its own individual budget. And typically, a principal, building principal, or an administrator of a department will submit a budget request to me, generally speaking, in the early part of the calendar year, around January and February. So that by March, certainly by April, we have a pretty good idea of what the next year's budget is going to look like. The Board of Education provides oversight and gives us their involvement and their, again, going back to like this evening's conversation about next year's capital project, you're knowing a year in advance before we even get to that that particular budget year in terms of your oversight and your involvement. Because we try to make you aware as early as we can, early on in the set, in the set of events. Okay? The 11-12 final budget, we're at about 89% local property taxes. We have about 5% of other revenue, which are student fees.
Interest earnings, corporate personal property tax.
There we go. Okay. State funding is the general state aid and all the categorical fundings that we've had. And then federal funding is down to 1% this year. That's about $500,000. This is a, I know it's very difficult to read, but. Get bigger? Well, let's see. So, in either case, what this says, it says all funds, revenue is $45,937,896. That's all funds. Now we talk about expenditures. As you can see, salaries and benefits account for about 72% of our overall expenditures. We have about 9% in purchase services, 5% in supplies and materials, 3% in capital projects, and then the other balances of about 11% there for other types of expenditures. This year, our expenditures are estimated to be approximately $36,904,000. No, I'm sorry. I'm off the wrong page. I apologize. Sorry.
You saw the look on our face.
Stop going. And I heard the girls. The next one. 45,358,000 are expected expenditures for this year for a surplus of $579,804. I'm sorry for that misstatement. Any questions so far?
Did we actually get 5% from the state?
Well, as we know it now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also, there's a lot of different conversations out there. They're telling us that we may get this. This is what they're telling us the budget for. But they're also not telling us, well, what fiscal year we'll receive it into.
Right.
So they can play a game with us. They may say we're going to get $1 million in categorical grants. I think it's $900,000 in categorical grants. But who knows in which fiscal year you're going to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
They've told us that we will get the first and second quarter of this fiscal year by the end of this fiscal year. So what happens with the other two quarters? We don't know. That's why I've taken a conservative approach in this presentation. As I said earlier, we took 30% out of overall categorical grants. And then once we got some defining information from the Board of, from the Illinois State Board of Education, we took out the pre-K programs, we took out the reading improvement, and some other minor programs that were in there. But this is what we know as of today. Right. So if we can talk about what are the increases over the year. You know, I think, Mike, let's go another. One more. Okay, full revenues. Overall increase of 0.82%, $377,000. We took over $700,000 out of state, out of revenues with regards to this elimination of state programs. So that's our overall net increase of about $377,000.
So really, if we get it all, then it'd be $1 million more in revenue. Is that what you're saying?
No, because I'm saying you're not going to get it all.
No, but
if we
miracle
in a perfect world.
In a perfect world, we get it, then it we should assume that it'd be $1 million.
Well, that would presume that the reading improvement dollars would come back, and that program is not being funded, so we know.
So that's half of the $7 million.
And if the competitive pre-K grant, which we've kept our name in the kind of in that hopper, so if districts refuse those grant dollars, it's possible we might get a few of those dollars handed to us, possibly. Mm-hmm. So another 330 could, at the high end, be potential for that.
But we've already been told we're not going to get those.
We have.
We've been eliminated.
We have been eliminated, but we also have been told by the state that they are not certain that every district that was awarded the money will accept the money because they cannot afford to fund the program unless the money's there in hand up front.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask a question a different way. You said you reduced some of the monies by 30%. That doesn't fall in the category of we're definitely not getting that. That's conservative. Assuming that we didn't get that 30%, is there a dollar amount associated? Assuming we didn't get the 70%, we got nothing. What's the dollar amount associated with that? Is that?
Well, there's about $900,000 worth of categorical grants that are that we still budgeted for. So we've left 900,000. We used to get 2.3 million categorical. We're now down to about $950,000.
So, John, it wouldn't be an increase because it would be stabilized funding. So you're talking about new revenue there when you're talking about overall increase.
Overall. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Real estate taxes, we computed to go up approximately 3.55% or $1,396,000. Our other local revenue, we actually increased over this. We went back and reviewed last year's numbers. We budgeted about $870,000 in corporate property replacement taxes. We feel as though we may get something more than that. Again, that's a function of how the economy is generating in the state. So we could get more, we could get less. We feel as though this is a good number right now. Overall, this is where we took down categoricals. $687,000. The federal revenues are going down $447,000. Again, that's more a function of ERA funding running out as well as completing the addition at Hadley.
Does this get posted?
The PowerPoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, parentheses, usually negative. Just not going to clear that up so there's no confusion.
Right.
When we created the PowerPoint along.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
We'll put the next one in.
Mm-hmm. We'll make sure.
Okay, Bob?
Yes.
So you're saying from a budgetary standpoint, you've reduced these line items, which are the category grants, correct?
Correct.
That's the revenue side. The expense side is still there.
That's
so those
correct.
Programs are still running. Without the funding.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So expenditures, overall, we expect those to go up $2.27 or $1 million this year over last year. Salaries, we expect to increase by about 3.27% or $859,000. Benefits. As we went through, there's a big difference between the budget as it was originally presented a few months ago versus where it's at today. We took benefits down to reflect the appropriate amount that we feel needs to be included in the budget. And actually, we about broke even a decrease of 0.3%, or just $1,500. Off of last year's budgeted amount. What we did is we took around $380,000 out of medical benefits from the budget as originally presented in the spring to how it's being presented as a final budget here in late summer, early fall.
And what allowed us to do that?
We saw what the actual expenditures came in at the end of this fiscal year. Typically what we have done is we roll a number, or I don't want to say roll, but we take a number that's budgeted off sort of an unknown, because we don't know where our benefits are going to come in at the end of the fiscal year. So we just take a sort of a ballpark figure. Okay, well, we expect benefits to go up 4%, so we take last year's number and we roll it with a 4% increase. Well, when we saw, because of the timing, we presented the original budget back in April or May. We now know, here it is 6 or 8 weeks after the end of the fiscal year, we know that we underspent our benefit line. So instead of allowing that to be inflated, we actually went in and reduced that that particular object at a different function code. We felt as though this gave us a better reflection in terms of what we believe medical benefits, what their total numbers will actually come in.
So it's a correction.
Because that was the first year with
EDC.
Right.
Right. So we feel as though this is a solid number for us. That's why we took the extra time to actually roll it into this budget.
Mm-hmm. That's good then.
Purchase services. The largest portion of purchase services are transportation, food service, legal, architectural. We want to talk about benefits where we underspent benefits. As of June 30th, 2011, well, as it turns out, we overspent purchase services in primarily in the forms of transportation, and in particular, special education came in $200,000 higher than what we had anticipated. So instead of allowing that shortfall to continue, we went in, made the adjustments in this budget document here. So we increased special ed transportation by about $200,000.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. I saw that. But I guess my other question was, with our new transportation contract, will we see it drop this upcoming year versus the previous year?
I took those numbers that we had from regular transportation and incorporated it in this document. What's driving the significant increase in this document is the cost of special education transportation.
That's not through our regular.
That's billed to us through CASE. We don't participate in that bid process. CASE takes it out to bid, and all we're told is allocate 2% or 3% given what their results come back at. Increase or decrease what you're currently budgeting. And we actually overspent that light item by about $200,000+.
But that's more an indication not of SEPTRAN's contract with us, because we had a 2% increase of SEPTRAN. So not an outrageous, but it's more reflective of our needs and reimbursements.
So what the regular was 600, or is budgeted to be 626. What was the regular last year?
$900,000.
Okay.
Significantly greater than what we budgeted this year.
And Bob,
I think we anticipated that coming down by $300,000 a year.
How are the loss of transportation dollars affect?
Well, if you go back to the revenue side,
right.
I've eliminated all forms of regular reimbursement, and I've left something in there, $220,000+ for special education reimbursement. But
right.
That still doesn't need or meet what it actually cost us to run the program. There's still, I think maybe we get 50 cents on a dollar from revenue in terms of what our expenditures are for that particular line item.
So we see with our census the number of children coming in with special education transportation needs obviously increasing.
We have
extraordinary circumstances. Yeah, more complicated. Yeah. Thank you.
This wasn't a question last time, but I was just curious. There was a $400,000 in special ed tuition. Is that the case payment?
Again, supplies and materials, we went up $100,000. Projects, we reduced capital equipment and projects, we reduced by $424,000 as a result of not having having completed the Headley addition. And then there's the $400,000. There's an increase of $400,000 in the other and tuition line item. That came in substantially greater than what we had anticipated also. So what are we going to do this year with this year's money? We have capital expenditures. We're going to provide updates to the Headley Courtyard, complete replacement of the Lincoln Franklin in there also. That should not be in there. Replacement of Lincoln parking lot. And then replacement of the Franklin Ryan Street entrance. So what are we continuing to do? We have continued technology updates. Mike has rolled out a plan where we're going to be implementing smart boards, netbooks, desktops, and laptops, continued implementation of the security plan, and then we will review curriculum-based needs as requested and provide adequate funding to support those programs. So what tools do we utilize in creating our budget, presenting plans to the school board? We have a five-year financial plan. We are now part of EBC with the employee benefit analysis that gives us some pricing stability where we were used to frequently double-digit increases, where we experienced a 4% increase this year. We have the district age and obsolescence plan, as well as the long-term capital projects plan. We use all of those as guiding tools in providing or allowing us or assisting us in making decisions. Long-term, where are we going with our dollars? There are a number of sources that you can use to take a look at school finances, whether they be locally, federally, or just a general understanding of how they're put together. We also have websites that we've indicated here, and professional services. We use a financial projection model provided by PMA. We use our auditors and bond advisors, and then we have our legal assistants and our architects to provide us with long-term analysis of capital needs. What's next? In the fall, we'll begin review of the levy that we'll be presenting probably to the Finance Committee in late October and certainly through November. And we'll be looking to pass the levy in December. We'll continue to use the services of PMA to provide for the five-year financial plan. And then we'll continue to review the strategic and long-range plans for implementation and the cost necessary to support those plans. Yeah. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Great.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Bob. The next item is our consent agenda. Are there any items the board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Can I just vote no on the consent agenda, or do I have to pull the piece I'm voting no on?
Yeah, we need to discuss it. I would pull it.
Yeah, I would pull it out if you have questions.
I have pull the personnel report. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. John Kenwood would like the personnel report pulled from the consent agenda. Any others? All right, so we'll remove that. May have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, which includes finance, facilities, and operations, the treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue, expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, disposal of surplus property, the 2011-2012 FOIA report, serious safety hazards, authorization to prepare the 2012-2013 budget, and other matters including board meeting minutes from June 18th special meeting 2011 and closed session June 20th 2011 regular meeting. Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Decker, the roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondrack?
Yes.
Ms. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Blatch?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Do I have a motion to discuss the personnel, I'm sorry, to approve the personnel report?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
No, discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry, discussion. Here. Go. John.
Motion by John.
Motion by John. Second by Drew. John, go ahead.
I'm just going to vote no on it. I've got no real comment about it at this point.
Well, then what's the point of voting no if you're not going to share issue is with the best point of discussion?
Well, it just has to do with some of the levels of some people in certain areas. And I needed more time to absorb that.
Okay.
I was going to ask. I mean, I can ask a general question about it. I mean, I probably would have called you ahead of time. But, I mean, in terms of some of the programs that are funded via grants, mm-hmm. are we getting them? In terms of the personnel there, we seem to be hiring a lot of VA1s for Hadley and whatnot. Some of these programs that are funded there, I'm assuming the grant doesn't look at the salary. It's a set cost. And if we could hire someone with a salary, I mean, is there an average salary we're looking to bring in that for grant-funded programs? Or
we don't hire any of our employees based on a grade, so to speak, to say that we only hire people who are hired by grants in this pay grade. In other words, can't be passed up for, or can't be MA. We look at best candidates to hire. Grant-funded programs do not set limits on who you... The only limitation we have on grant salaries would be new teachers that comes out of Title IIA, and that's class size reduction. So we tend to put our lower salaries there, but that's got some stricter federal parameters. When we hire, and I presume you're referring to early childhood, we would hire looking at the candidate who has the endorsements that we want and the certification that we want, and look for the best candidate. Field is a little bit more narrow than it might be for a general education teacher. But we don't say, well, we'll hire Hadley teachers at, BA Step 1, and we'll hire special programs at MA Step 5. Our overall hiring status this year is below what we had last year.
Right.
Last year our average was BA 5, and this year it's BA 3. So, you know, we don't look at individuals. We look to hire the best in the category that we have, and sometimes that requires us to hire someone that's a little bit more expensive than might otherwise be.
Mm-hmm. I just have maybe a question slash concern, specifically around the loss of the funding on the mm-hmm. pre-K. Just trying to understand, filling some positions for that. What does that mean to that program? Where does that financially is that program over?
Well, it's a great question to ask, and I'd have to say to you, at this point, we haven't made any determination about the long term of the program. The practice in the district has been that when a program loses its funding in part, because we have none of our programs are funded wholly, that we support that program for the following year, and then we enter into conversations if we expect that funding is not going to return. We would enter into conversations, which we will do in the fall, when we look at our overall budget. We're going to be looking at all of our programs. As you know, one of our long-range plan goals is to develop a cost-benefit model for education. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but we're looking at this as an opportunity. So we'll be looking at all of those programs that have lost their funding, specifically reading improvement and early childhood, to determine how, in the scope of our larger priorities, might we continue those programs? Will they need to look differently? Will we, what kinds of recommendations might we bring to the Board of Education surrounding those programs as part of our early recommendations? And those would be really presented to you as part of our long-range financial plan for future.
So this fall of this year, you mean?
Well, we've already committed funding for this fall, which is what has been a board practice. And the board, we didn't ask the board to change their practice. And, of course, we lost the competitive grant for early childhood, or pre-K for all, in the middle of the summer. So it would have been difficult to come back and say, shall we fund it or not? Obviously, we had already made commitments to staff. So those conversations now will take place, and they would be part of an overall budget presentation or budget reduction mm-hmm. plan that we would bring you. Where would we recoup those dollars? How will we recoup those dollars, or if we want to continue those programs?
Mm-hmm.
John, anything else from your perspective?
No.
Is that answering some of your questions? Anything else?
I would like to note as well that in the past we've had conversations about do we hire only in a certain range. The board has never given us parameters that limit how we hire. I think that we have looked and have, in certain circumstances, turned candidates away, told principals that we would not accept that recommendation, that for that position it was more salary than we thought we needed to invest, and that there would, the candidate pool would be strong enough to find another high-quality candidate for lesser money. But the board has never given us parameters to limit us in that way. And so, as I mentioned to you, we are overall conscious about what our costs are and indicate that this year we'll have a lower overall cost to our hiring pool than we've had in the past, and more candidates.
Although the scorecard does provide some metrics mm-hmm. we like to look at. I guess salary isn't really a metric mm-hmm. on there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a good mix of... You don't want to be too bottom-heavy or top-heavy. But.
And I think we have, you know, when your average candidate is a BA3 for this hiring season, that's a pretty young candidate pool, with exceptions where we find that the best candidate, based on the needs that we have, is going to be a more expensive candidate.
Well, and you also indicated that for some of these positions, the requirements, the endorsements, what they have to have by law, creates a different set of parameters that you have to hire by.
Well, in this particular candidate, we really hit the jackpot in a lot of ways in terms of having a candidate who, beyond early childhood, could provide long-term employability for the district.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Do we now vote? You ready to vote?
Roll call.
Roll call, please.
Smith?
Yes.
Mr.
Daniels?
No.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Melvin?
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent's recommendations. Adoption of the 2011-2012 budget. A public hearing on the 2011-2012 Glen Ellyn School District 41 budget was held earlier in the evening. The budget has been on display and made available for public inspection since June 21, 2011. Notice for tonight's hearing was advertised in the Gatehouse Media, Suburban Newspapers, Suburban Life Publications on June 23, 2011. May I have a motion to adopt the 2011-2012 Glen Ellyn School District 41 budget?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Daniels?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Superintendent's report.
Well, Erica, you began a little bit by summarizing some of the things that I wanted to share with you, and I really will try to be brief, but I wanted to give you an overview of all the work that has occurred this summer and a little bit of an update on each of those areas. Bob talked a little bit about our capital projects, and I'm looking forward to seeing the completion of all of those projects. We're not behind in any of them, but we will be going up to the, you know, kind of the gateway of making sure that everything is done on time. We will make sure that even with some dust and a little bit of inconvenience, we'll make sure that people, the teachers are able to get into their classrooms and get them set up as they may wish to do so. I'm looking forward to hopefully an open house or a tour of some sort to unfold the Lincoln painting, which is going to be a brand new look to that school, and I'm just thrilled with what I've seen so far. And the Hadley Courtyard, of course, which is going to be a jewel upon its completion, and I can't wait for you all to see that. But even our smaller projects, the paving project at Lincoln is nearly completed, and Forest Glen's new parking lot, after all these years, looks just fantastic. And we'll be doing some continued striping over there, but we had a lot going on with our capital projects, and as always, they've been very responsive. Construction meetings have been very congenial, and Bob has done a nice job of herding over that process. We've been working internally here at almost every day. The parking lot has been pretty full, except on Fridays when you know, we have shortened hours and nobody wants to work, be here on those days doing work, except that I will say the performance evaluation team, we were here almost every Friday doing work. And that is one of the work groups that was commissioned by the board and GIA, as you know. And we've been working all summer long and are planning to prepare our preliminary findings to the negotiating teams once that they are ready to go. In addition, there has been Common Core work done in June and resumed in August again. The literacy specialists, though, I have to say, have been working all summer long on that work, and just a fantastic amount of work has been done around the Common Core. And I just want to highlight for you, because it's hard to grasp. The Common Core is a very, very different animal than the Illinois standards. And many of our neighboring districts, I think the Glenbard Associate District, we're pretty much in sync with each other in terms of putting a lot of upfront work to the Common Core. But many of our neighboring districts, and certainly across the state and nation, are far less prepared to implement than we are. And Jeannie is here, and she's worked on the math, and she can tell you what tremendous work has occurred over the course of the last several months. So kudos to the math and the literacy specialists, of course, led by Karen, and a tremendous amount of work has been done. And I think we're in a good place, despite the fact that it will be a huge change, huge shift. And we're going to have to kind of really shepherd this in a very supportive way. In addition, our whole ELL curriculum has been revised, our whole bilingual curriculum has been revised, our whole special ed curriculum has been revised in light of the Common Core. And so we're really, really pleased with how that's moving along. Lori has met with the wellness group. That's a big initiative, both internally in terms of our staff as well as at each of the buildings, having wellness committees, both as part of the long-range plan as well as meeting state statutes that require us to do so. We've had an anti-bullying group, work group meeting all summer long, and they have done a tremendous amount of work taking the recommendations from the task force, but really only in the framework from the teaching and learning, the instructional aspect. There are other recommendations. We have not put study groups or work groups around that, being the community engagement piece, parent education piece. But the curricular piece, what are we going to do on the first day of school piece, they worked all summer on and have some great things to start the year that will align with our work with response to intervention and the PBIS work in the district. And so we're very excited about that as well. So it's been a summer of a lot of activity. In fact, I'd have to say the kind of level of activity we had maybe 5 years ago as we began to look at all of our curricula each year. This was a year that kind of mirrored that. And I know you've heard me say this before, that I have stopped saying to my staff, you know, next summer will be slower, next summer will be easier, because it doesn't happen. So anyway, kudos to the entire District 41 staff who participated in summer work and giving up a portion of their summer time, and kudos to the administrative team that led that process over the course of the whole summer. So that's my report.
Thank you. Board reports. Any board reports at this time?
I have one.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm now the the new IASD governing board rep.
Yeah, that's great.
I got an email that was originally sent to Dan. He was nice to forward on to me. So I will let you all know that fall dinner meeting will happen October 4th at Bloomingdale Golf Club. And I hope you can all attend with me, because I don't have to go. Spring dinner meeting, early April, May. We'll talk about the Common Core, what board members need to know, and I'm sure we all need a tutorial on that. We all know about the Joint Annual Conference, so I don't need to get into that. The governing board director, excuse me, John Castle is going to be leaving at the end of August. You guys probably...
That was a surprise to me.
Been there for 18 years, which I didn't know either, but Barbara Tony will be the new field service director.
Okay. That's a nice transition for that group.
Yeah. What else?
When's the deadline for somebody to make
resolutions?
I think it passed. They wanted them in.
Don't know. Sorry. I'll get back to that.
Was that a trick question, Dan?
Did you have one, Dan? Did you mean?
Did you set it for us? Of course, the governing board encourages me to encourage other members to attend ISB-sponsored meeting and events, so I encourage you all to do that. And in that vein, this weekend I attended my first conference, the Basics of Finance, which you all have probably been to and learned so much about. And the funny thing that I learned was that I didn't know anything. And after the day of instruction, which was led by two former superintendents, which I thought was very interesting, I gained a lot of knowledge, but then I gained a lot of more questions than answers. So, Bob, and I apologize for all the future questions that will be going your way.
We welcome them.
No, that's good.
That's all I have.
Great, thank you. And thanks for attending that. And just kidding. Great, thanks, Dan. And Sam is our voting delegate for the conference this year, correct?
I am.
Dan will show you the ways of
pass along
the lifting. Exactly. So thank you very much, Sam, for doing that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just have a quick reminder. We all received from Maureen, I think it was in June, the rotation of our assignments for committee and also for PTA. And I know that the first PTA council meeting, we will remind the presidents to get that information on their first meetings to us. So I don't know, Maureen, if you navigate some of that for us and try and get those first meetings, which will be pretty quick, I think.
I have actually been in contact with
great. Okay.
Yeah. On all the positions and the executive council directory type things.
Great.
All the schools. So I'm still waiting.
Okay.
I just did the executive council but I don't have all the schools.
All right. Yeah, just keep our antenna up in terms of looking for that. I know that we put it on the events in progress when we get them, but just so that we can have our calendars ahead of the schedule a little bit, keep our eyes open. And that's it. Anything else? Okay. Upcoming meetings include August 22nd, 2011, a regular meeting here at Central Services at 7:30, regular time.
Discussion
items. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. It was underneath my paper clip. Discussion items. Telephone service recommendation. Ian?
You have a recommendation that Bob has prepared for you that is looking at changing our vendor of service. And Bob has outlined for you his process and that he made contact with two other vendors besides AT&T. You'll note that he made every effort to get a return call from AT&T and they were very unresponsive to him. So he has gone forward with a different recommendation. When I get to my report, I will tell you what that is. And so he has services by call one, is his recommendation, I believe. Is that correct, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Which uses the current AT&T infrastructure, so we would not have to do anything to our infrastructure and would be a cost savings to the district to make this switch.
So this, we just purchased what phone equipment here?
Voice over IP?
Yeah. So we'll work with that, no problem?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the second vendor in the past few months that doesn't want to respond to anything? I thought there was somebody else.
I think you're talking about the gentleman who sent the email to a large group of board members.
And energy.
I mean, that's my guess that that's what you're referring to.
I mean, did we check any references just to make sure the service is good? It's a commodity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a big discrepancy between the two bids, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily uncommon.
So I guess the question is, why do you go with the higher cost? Or am I reading that wrong?
It's lower. We went with the lower one.
Their monthly or their annual monthly annual costs are different. So it's cheaper on the first one, $2,500. I think that's what you're looking at.
Yes.
And then for call one, it's $3,400. There's a difference. But the cost savings overall are...
Annual savings, we're saying.
Right.
My hair.
Right, that's okay.
Oh, okay. I looked at it the same way, too. Okay, yeah. Got it. Thank you.
Anytime we can save money, Bob. Okay. Nicely done.
So we'll bring that back at our next meeting for action.
Okay.
And that's it for discussion items tonight. I will let you know that we had a lengthy finance agenda, so you will have lots of discussion items at our next meeting.
Okay, upcoming meetings, again, include August 22nd, 2011, a regular meeting at 7:30 Central Services. Then September 7th is a special meeting, a board workshop, 5 p.m. here at Central Services. Thank you, everybody, for having some clear time. I know that Ann put in the Thursday letter that when we're at that meeting, please bring your calendars so that we can decide to identify another evening or half a day, because I'm sure we'll need that time. And then September 12, 2011, regular meeting, 7:30 here at Central Services.
And I will say I didn't hear from everybody back on September 7th, and so went ahead and scheduled that meeting. Yep. I can send that out as an invitation to everyone, but assume since I put that in the last Thursday letter and did not hear back from people that they couldn't attend, I'm assuming everybody can attend.
Yeah, please take a look at that.
Would it be a burden to send it out as an invitation as well?
If that's what I'll do. I'll send it out as an invitation tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to note for you, hopefully everyone can get here by 5. We'll have a light dinner, but we will have someone here from the Illinois Association of School Boards to give us a demonstration and on Board Book, which is an electronic board document center, so that we could hopefully go paperless in the next year and have all of our board documents be transmitted electronically to you.
Is that Jennifer Castle?
Mm-hmm. No, it's someone who works with the product.
We saw that a bunch of us looked at it last year at the conference.
Yeah. I think several people did.
It's a pretty great.
So he'll do what he did with us was a webinar, and then we had him live over the phone. But he'll come here in person and probably do basically the same thing.
Yeah,
no,
it is very good.
Maureen?
I spoke with them, and he will actually work with me to prepare
a board package.
Yes.
Great.
A board packet and access to the board. It's kind of a temporary sort of account, if you will, that leads up to that evening, mm-hmm. and then sort of have a demonstration on how board members act, how I act, and how I build the...
Excellent.
So one of the things I will ask you in my invitation is, do you wish to have a laptop for you that evening, or do you wish to use your own? So you can let me know whether you want a laptop, and we'll have a laptop ready set up for you.
Mike, what's easier? Is it easier for you to set up laptops for us than we all bring our own?
Either way,
doesn't matter.
It's web-based.
Right, we all have wireless access.
Oh, that's right.
We have wireless access on it.
We have.
It's open.
It's open.
It's open.
Yeah, you said.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, you need the key.
Can well, we I mean, Michael. Yeah, from your computer, Michael.
Can you do it on a iPad too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So just let us know if you need one. If you don't let us know you need one, then we'll assume you're going to bring one. Okay?
So, for the September 7th.
Correct.
All right. Anything else? Thank you. Any other matters to be considered by the board at this point? All right. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board at this time?
Okay.
Thank you. The board has determined that it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss collective negotiation matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, and finally, litigation when an action against affecting on or behalf of the particular district has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the district finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the closed session minutes. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Sullivan.
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Bunder?
Yes.
Yes. May I have a motion to adjourn the August 8th regular board meeting?
Well, we do that when we're
ready. Oh, I'm sorry. We haven't adjourned yet.
And we have no reason to take action.
Second.
That's right. And there's no reason to take action. Fine. You don't need to second again.
Motion.
Thank you. May hold your motion, John.
Second.